impress you some more. So that when you go shopping in paradise, you'll find those magnificent peanuts. Singapore, with the drawing of the young Chinese farmer, with the eastern sun behind him, smiling at you from the shelves. If we want to spend eternity in happiness, well, we're gonna have to watch ourselves. You must give to the march of dimes. You must be on guard against wickedness at all times, and you will find that your efforts have brought you great joy when your spirit is munching on that golden boy. There are no Pan-Asian supermarkets down in hell, so you can't buy golden boy peanuts there. But the streets of heaven are lined with shells, and there's billboards of the golden boy everywhere. There are no Pan-Asian supermarkets down in hell, so you can't buy golden boy peanuts. There are no Pan-Asian supermarkets down in hell, so you can't buy golden boy peanuts. Go!
That was Golden Boy by the Mountain Goats. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. This is the Astro Hour. I'm Zach Going. This is my mom.
Hello.
Say hi, Mom. Do you believe in hell, Mom?
Do I believe in hell? Wow. You've been waiting to ask me that, haven't you?
I mean, yeah, well, for years, but also because of this song. I was trying to figure out what songs to play today, and I was like, well, this one has been stuck in my... You can attest this has been stuck in my head for, like, the last 3 days.
Yeah, and I have no idea where it came from, and yes...
The Mountain Goats song.
I don't know the Mountain Goats.
They're John Green's favorite band.
Oh,
amongst,
well, I like
amongst just being a good band.
The Mountain Goats.
The Mountain Goats. It's really just one guy who calls himself the Mountain Goats, and, like, he has other musicians play with him, but anytime
say.
He
so,
plays...
Because he would be just the Mountain Goat, not
yes.
Goats.
It's weird. I was kind of... But that's given me an idea that I might just give myself a plural band name. And just call whoever is playing with me members of that band.
What would that be? That band name?
The Interference Patterns, probably. Because it's like kind of physics-y, but it's also kind of artsy.
Of course. It's so you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you believe in hell?
Yeah. You don't need to give me a serious answer.
No, I mean, I guess I kind of do. I mean, I guess...
Really?
I want to say I don't.
Yeah.
Believe in hell.
Okay.
But I guess I fear that there's a hell.
Oh, that's very Catholic.
Thank you.
I don't want there to be a hell, but like I know there is one and I'm going
right,
to
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
No, that's fascinating because that's different than,
right, I, guess
than
that,
I think
that
the way
be
a
my
lot
best
of
answer to that
folks.
Question.
Yeah, I don't know if I fear hell. I definitely fear being a bad person. How about that? Like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Fear. I don't know. It's crazy.
So do we fear judgment?
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel
it's interesting because I always, you know, that no, that's fascinating because I always kind of thought that the concept of hell came less from a place of self-loathing in people and more of a place of hatred. You know, like to me, the concept of hell just seems like something that a bunch of farmers came up with in like the dark ages because like someone came in and stole all their crops and they were like, these people need punishment. And like they were living in an unjust world. So they're like willing to believe that like, you know, oh, well, like when they die, they'll be punished for all the terrible stuff they do. But and like I kind of understand that because like whenever I hate someone vitriolically, I'm like, I want them to burn for all eternity. Like that makes sense to me.
Right.
But also, no, that's bad. I feel like that's mean.
It is. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
You don't like being mean.
But there are no Pan-Asian supermarkets down in hell is the point.
Well,
so you can't buy Golden Boy peanuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is a Golden Boy peanut? Do we know? Have you looked it up?
I mean, I haven't looked it up, but I've having now sung the song 300 times.
Yeah, you'd think you would have looked it up by now.
Yeah.
Is that just a variety?
I think it's a Singaporean peanut.
Is it like Planters peanuts?
Yeah, Golden Boy peanuts. Immediately when I look it up, the Mountain Goat song comes up.
Like a manufacturer name or?
Golden Boy Foods. Oh, I think it's a... I think it's just like a food company. And they have peanut product. Oh, peanut and nut products. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
It says in the song that they're from Singapore, but I'm not actually sure if that's true.
Hell, they need to get their facts right.
Maybe it might just be that you can only buy them in Pan-Asian supermarkets, of which there are none in hell.
Okay. We've already spent way too much time on this.
No, I disagree. I think it's... There was the episode where all Chris and I talked about were the Fab Five for the entire episode.
Yes, I listened to most or half of that episode.
Half?
I feel like I had something to do.
Oh, that's fine. I feel like that's... A lot of people end up saying that when they're watching my show, is they'll be like, I had something to do,
so I missed the first or second half. First of all, you know that I would listen to entire...
I'm aware, yes. Yeah. I know you're not a neglectful parent.
Yes, but I don't remember. Yes, the Fab Five, yes, which is what you wanted to talk about last time I was here.
We did talk about it, I think. Have you watched any episodes of Queer Eye since?
I have not. I apologize. No, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I've been neglectful.
You can't update.
Yeah.
I don't know. You said Tan was your favorite, right?
Yes.
I get that. People are starting to like really pick apart the Fab Five on the internet for like their repetitive tendencies. And I'm like, I feel like that's fine because there are only so many ways that you can teach someone how to dress when they've never learned how to dress before.
Exactly. And I also think a show like that, that's their, whatever, their patent, their, you know, that's their formula.
Yeah.
And they're trying, I said that very Boston.
Formula, yeah.
Thank you.
That's fine. I wasn't going to point it out. You pointed it out.
I heard it. But that's what they do. So they have to stick with that. They can't, you know, change that. It works for them.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this in the context of, now we're talking about Queer Eye again, but thinking about this in the term, like, people make fun of Anthony for not actually teaching people how to cook. And I'm just like, you can't teach someone how to cook in 3 hours.
No.
Like, you can't do that.
No. You're just giving them something easy that they could, a go-to thing that they can do easily.
Yeah.
Or you're giving them a little, I don't know, not teach them not to be afraid to cook.
Which is harder with cooking than it is with style. Because with style, what Tan can do is Tan can be like, here are the three rules that you're going to memorize right now, and it's going to immediately make you look better.
Don't you think people who don't know how to cook, I've put way more pressure on themselves about cooking, like taking it too seriously?
Funny that you say that, because I think I just realized that yesterday.
Yeah, you've been cooking a lot lately.
Beans and avocado.
But I mean, I don't know if it's because I grew up with somebody who always could throw things together. Matter of fact, your father and I just ran into somebody who said, you know, how's your mother? Your grandmother.
Yeah.
And, you know, she always could make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she always said to me that if you can read, you can cook, because she felt like anybody could sort of follow a recipe.
Mm-hmm. That is very true, I think.
Right. But even though she never really followed recipes, she does more now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But she never followed recipes when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But you just sort of learn certain things go together and don't go together.
Yeah.
You know?
I definitely think that there is... I mean, granted, I realized this 12 hours ago. But there's a certain like freedom you have to realize exists where it's just like... Cooking is literally just putting food together.
Right.
And then eating it.
Right.
Right? Like, I guess I didn't necessarily realize that. I thought that there was, like, a set number of, like, things that I could make.
Right.
Like, not even consciously, just, like, subconsciously, I thought, like, I need to know that these things exist before I literally just warm up black beans and cut an avocado and put them in a bowl together and then eat them. It's fine.
Did you add any seasoning?
No, because I'm white and don't season things properly.
Okay, well...
I don't know, I heard that's a stereotype about white people, and I've kind of found it to be true.
I mean, I don't use a lot of salt because I'm afraid of salt, but I also know that things need salt.
Can I just say, I think it's a weird generational shift, or maybe this is just the way I was raised, but I... Like, salt and pepper shakers are on like every table in every restaurant, right?
Except in our house, they're not, right? We have to go get them.
Well, I mean, yes, but I mean like in a restaurant, they're always there on every table.
That's correct.
I don't think I ever used one. Oh, ever. No. And I don't think I've seen you or Dad or Jessica use one at any point. But I've seen like older people just immediately get their food and just start drowning it in salt.
You have a cousin who loves salt. I won't mention this person by name. I can say it's a female because you have more female cousins than male cousins.
I've got a lot of female cousins.
And,
that's strange, isn't it?
Would salt things before even tasting them. And that's sort of a pet peeve of mine. You have to taste something before you salt it.
Yeah, I don't get
that. But I use salt when I cook more than I do, but I don't keep it on the table.
I don't get it.
You know, but I mean, again.
Yeah, I mean, when you're cooking, I kind of get it. I get using salt because it's like sometimes an important part. But the idea that like the salt and pepper shakers are there because you're just like, oh, no, the chef didn't like salt it enough or pepper it, or like season it enough. You're like, what? And like there will be people who will just like drown it in salt. Whereas like I've never seen like any one of my friends like reach for a salt shaker and start.
Right.
Like I don't know.
But also I just think, when I interrupted you.
No,
sorry.
It's fine.
When I talked over you, when I asked if you seasoned too, in part of my head was thinking olive oil too, because I'm a big one for adding a little olive oil to something.
I was gonna add the olive oil onto the avocado before I added the beans, but then I added the beans and I was like, well, I don't want to olive oil the beans.
That'd be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was just like, I mean, I'm also just not like, I'm not someone who likes oily textures.
Well, that's true. Again, another thing that you were kind of brought up with not having a lot of extra
textures or oils.
Oh, you don't like texture. That's
I really don't like texture.
Yeah. Anyways.
I don't like things that are smooth and also not at the same time. Like, that's why I was fighting that yogurt this morning, because it like has...
You say yogurt.
Oh, I do that to
to drive
the
us
British
crazy.
Way to drive Jessica crazy.
Oh, okay. I'm sure she's. Oh no, she might not be listening.
No,
to
she's not. She's
call.
On a conference call. It's 11:12.
Yogurt. How do people pronounce yogurt?
Yogurt.
No.
That is a real way that human beings pronounce yogurt.
Okay.
And yogurt, and I don't think there's another one. I think you can only do. You can only do the soft or the hard. Oh, on that. Like, yo or yog. Oh. All right. Okay. We're going to do some ABBA.
Oh, good.
Yay.
People need hope. People need loving. People need trust from a fellow man. People need love to make a good living. People need faith in a helping hand. Man is always wrong. Carry on, baby.
I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna talk with the Prince of Peace down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna talk with the Prince of Peace down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Shake hands with every man down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna shake hands with every man down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war. Shake hands around the world, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna shake hands around the world, down by the riverside. Study war no, study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study.
Gather around for a minute or two, and I'll admit something to you. I get intrigued when women look sinister. Call me superficial, but I stare at them vampire girls. It's not the mascara, it's not the tight dress, it's a look in eyes gonna scare you to death. Vampire girl, vampire girl, I get so intrigued when they look like a vampire girl. She could mean, she could rise, she do ritual sacrifice. Vampire girl, vampire girl, whoa, I get so intrigued when they look like a vampire girl. Go little vampire girl, I believe I fall for it a couple of times myself. Vampire girl,
Mom, what tattoo should I get?
Oh, boy.
That's weird. That's not a question. Oh, boy is not a good tattoo to get.
What tattoo should you get?
Or what tattoo would you get?
If you had I'm of an age where I still don't have a tattoo, which means that I haven't been able to decide on such a thing. For a long time, I didn't want one.
All right.
Now I kind of might want one.
Do it.
But your father does not like tattoos. I wonder if he's listening.
I mean, does he not like tattoos, or is he just like...
I'm sure he's going to text us in a second.
I don't know. Like, I feel like everyone has this like weird like reaction of, oh, it's permanent.
Well, that, yeah.
I don't know.
That is a weird...
It's fine. It's just art. It's just art.
Let's see.
There are so many parts of art, like, oh, why would you want to mess up your skin? It's like, well, there are part, like these, like you can't...
I mean, I guess...
Like Jessica's is like not visible.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're announcing that your sister just got a tattoo, but...
She's... It's not like it's a secret,
no,
is it?
I don't think it's a secret. No, yeah. No, she... No.
I said it at the dentist the other day. Yesterday. They're like, what's your sister up to? I'm like, she just got a tattoo.
Okay, are we going to tell everybody what Jessica's tattoo is?
It's a Minnie Mouse bow.
It's a Minnie Mouse bow. Because that's...
It's cute. Adorable. There you go.
Well, I think the thing with tattoos is that I think you got to be able to live with it as an adult. So can you picture yourself with it at 50, you know, or 30, I feel, you know, can you justify it to a child, to your children, what it is, you know?
That's fascinating.
I think that it's something, you know, so I think there's a lot to think about.
I mean, my personal criteria, I think I've explained this to you before, are it cannot be something that I would imagine myself growing to hate.
Right.
After a period of time, or like anything, because here's the thing, a tattoo with me is going to be some sort of cultural reference, right? It really probably isn't going to be anything else, right? It's going to be something music related or something like media related, right? Like, okay. I can't really imagine anything else. So it has to be something that I can't, it has to be referencing something that I can't see myself growing sick and tired of, right? Like, I'm not about to get a Doctor Who tattoo,
you
That's know?
Good.
Because in 10 days, I'm going to be fed up with Doctor Who. And it also can't be something that, like, I can see the culture, like, forgetting about in the future. Which is why I've been so into the idea of a Beatles tattoo recently. Because, like, the Beatles are just never going to go out of style, ever. Like, we've seen that over the last 60 years.
Well, I mean, with that said about Doctor Who, that was around when I was a kid, too. So, and it came back. So, I mean, but again, I don't want you to get a Doctor Who.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Doctor... So Doctor Who does fit that second criteria, but the first criteria, the problem is that I go in periods of hating Doctor Who and loving Doctor Who.
That's true.
Almost with no in between each time. Like, the derivative at the boundary is zero.
I mean, what your major is.
Is infinite.
Something related to.
So something physics-y?
What's a physics-y tattoo?
Like an equation? I don't know. I considered actually getting the Schrodinger equation for a while, but I'm not...
No, that's fine.
I'm not deep enough into any particular field in physics that I would feel comfortable like marrying myself to.
With all that said too, your sister is also 5 years older than you, and it's taken her that long to come up with something that is cute and representative of, probably saying cute is gonna say to, she's probably thinking, mom just said this.
There's literally nothing that you can say about it that wouldn't
fall into
that
the head
couldn't be construed in like a negative way, right?
Of just
in Jessica's brain, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know.
Anyways,
you're
but
fine.
What I'm saying is that it. I mean, I think you could wait still a few years. I guess is what was my point in what I was saying about the Jessica being 5 years. You don't need to do it today.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah.
You know. There's
probably a spaceship out there, but I don't feel a connection to any particular spaceship.
I mean, Jessica seemed to always be convinced that she was going to just do the black. You know, it's the one singular color thing. I actually like colorful.
I like colors.
Color to, you know.
And I was surprised when I found out Jessica's wasn't colored.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh.
Yeah, like, that seemed to be something she always knew. And that's fine. I just.
Because when I think of a Minnie Mouse bow, I think of red and white.
Right.
Like pretty vividly.
Yeah.
But it works. It's recognizable.
It came out nice.
Yeah.
But if you had asked us this about Jessica, like after high school, I would have thought a ballet slipper. I would have thought something to do with drama or Shakespeare. Shakespeare. I mean, she'd been thinking about talking about Shakespeare since middle school, or actually since fifth grade. I mean, the fact that it ended up being.
See, Shakespeare is a good one, but like the problem is you can't really do anything other than words.
Well, this is true. I'm just saying to you, I think with time comes different perspective is what I'm saying to you.
Although it's fascinating that you bring up ballet because Jessica and I, when I wrote that essay about Hungry Heart this weekend or this week, I told you about that, right?
Yeah, you did tell me.
I talk about my love for the Beatles in it and Jessica read it and immediately goes, you know what, Zachary, I just realized that you think about the Beatles in the same way that I think about ballet, in that we both think of these things as like universal truths that just exist, that everybody loves, and there's no, like, you don't even need to ask people whether or not they love it or like view it as an art form because you just feel so strongly that it is.
That actually is how she views ballet.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good analogy. Yeah. I guess that does explain.
Where Jessica, I feel like, is surprised when people are ambivalent about ballet. Right. I am thoroughly shocked when I find people who are ambivalent towards the Beatles or say they don't like them. Like I wrote in that essay, I was like, if people tell me they don't like the Beatles, I just assumed they haven't listened to them, you know?
Right.
Like that is actually the first place my brain goes in those situations.
Right. Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe, but I don't know a good Beatles tattoo. That's the problem. I was thinking of just the logo, but that's a little strange. Again, I'm kind of against words.
You know what? I kind of understand that being against words. I don't know why I understand it, but I don't think that's been my favorite tattoos.
Yeah, people can get words, especially if it's done in like pretty script or whatever. And that's kind of why I like the Beatles one because it is a very recognizable font.
Oh,
but
wait, you don't want a tattoo that says mom?
No. No, in the same way that I don't want the pinups I was telling you about the other day.
Yeah,
my favorite album ever, Costello Music by the Fratellis, is an album I would have no regrets tattooing the artwork of onto my body, except for the fact that it is three pinups drinking whiskey, and I can't pull that tattoo off.
Right.
In any way.
No.
I can't. I would need biceps three times as big as what I currently have in order to pull off that tattoo.
Yeah.
I just can't. Or I'd need to be a sailor.
I don't think you need pinups on your body.
Again, if I was a sailor, it would work.
You're not a sailor.
I'm not a sailor. I'm afraid of the water. Not that much. I'm not as afraid of the water as you are, but like I'm afraid of the water.
I was gonna say
I would never go on a cruise, which is weird because I think you would go on a cruise.
I go back and forth with this all the time because I mean every once in a while people who love cruises sort of talk me into the idea of a cruise, but then your father's like, but you hate water.
Yeah, I don't want to die.
You know, and I don't want to be in the middle of the ocean and see nothing around me either.
That freaks me out.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
That's like the feeling of being in a parking lot for me, which I find parking lots the most depressing thing.
I think parking garages are more depressing.
I like parking garages because at least parking garages, you feel like there are things happening around you. And there's but a parking lot, you're just like, this is wasted space. Like this used to be trees. You know, it's so inefficient. I look around. Actually, that's what it is. Well, I look around and I go, this is so inefficient.
Parking, yeah, instead of using the vertical space.
Use the vertical space. And like you can look outside of a parking garage and be like, hey, that's like a building right there. That's a hospital. Great. Like this is efficient use of space. There's a hospital there.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I don't know.
It's funny.
All right.
Wow. We digressed from tattoos. Too.
We did. We're gonna do a song. Here we go.
tell her mention that.
We are just good friends.
I'm a
television man. Take a walk in the beautiful garden. Everyone would like to say hello. It doesn't matter what you say. Come and take us away.
Hey, 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 hey.
Am I right in assuming that that song is a turning point in the career of the Boss?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I did some research on this because I was writing this essay about it. About the first time that I listened to Hungry Heart, which was, by the way, Saturday.
Oh, and, really? And you wrote an essay after I listened to
it? Well, because I thought it was interesting and strange that this song that I kind of view as a staple of American pop culture in the 20th century, I just hadn't heard it until...
I'm not a huge Springsteen fan.
Yeah,
you know
you
that.
And Dad, you, Dad's neither of you either. Are
I don't hate
people.
Him. I'm just not a huge... I'm not like... obsessed with Springsteen. You know, I'm more of a, you know, Prince and...
But that's why this is so interesting to me, right? Because the reason both of you say that is because there is, like, a group of people who, like, are Springsteen fans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? Like, that's a large group of people, like, your age particularly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like...
I love
like,
talking when things are you know, my age.
Your
you know?
Generation...
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I'm not saying your age.
Thank you for not saying my age.
That's fine.
I appreciate that.
Like that's a group of people that exist who like grew up listening to this song that came out 17 years before I was born, right?
Right.
And like I had not heard the song. And like it's a song that's probably ingrained into their minds and they probably quote to themselves like all the time without even noticing, right? Because it is kind of beautiful, right? Like it's a good song.
I have a friend who...
And I just hadn't heard it!
I have a friend who... I mean, I'm assuming she still loves him.
Yeah.
Loved him at the time of that period.
There are so many people who love him.
Yeah.
I mean, and rightfully so. He's like, apparently he's like a super nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, no. I believe you know, his book was like a bestseller a couple years ago.
I was going to say, did you read his book?
No, oh, but okay. People loved it.
Yeah. I'd imagine because he, yeah. I don't know. Like,
would you go see him in concert? You asked me the other day about concerts, who I would see more than once.
I don't think I'd see Springsteen. Dad just said, as the saying goes, I don't hate Bruce, I just hate his fans. Yeah, I mean, I knew he was going to say that. I thought that in my head while I was talking about all this. Yeah, like, it's a group of people. I don't know. I don't know if I'd see Bruce. Yeah, I don't know if it's Hebrews. It's not on the top of my list.
Like, I feel like I would see him now, but yet I've never had a desire to see him before. So I don't know why I feel like I would see him now.
So
that's
here's
strange.
Here's my problem with artists like that is I hate stadium shows a lot.
Right, and that's all he doesn't do much.
He can't do anything else. He's Bruce Springsteen, right?
Right.
So I would see him, but I'd have a bad time because it'd be at a stadium show. So I guess I could, and like if I had a few drinks, I'd be fine, right? Like I would just be like sitting in the back of like Fenway, probably, right? Like I can't imagine anywhere else you'd play.
See, here's the other thing with that kind of thing. I guess I think I know why you don't like stadium things because of the sound quality or because of the bigness of it. Is that why you don't like it?
I don't like the
bigness.
I
like to be up front, so I don't know that there's people behind me.
That's
kind of...
Well, so that's what I'm trying to say, right? Is like, I wouldn't pay the $1,000 it would take me
exactly,
to
yeah.
get up front at yeah. a Bruce Springsteen show.
Yeah.
So because of that, I would just kind of have a bad time because I would be like in the back. So I'm probably just never going to end up going to a Springsteen show. Like, that's why I say, I think I said this week, the only two big artists that I really want to see again, are, well, never seen, right? But I want to see before they die... are Dylan, which honestly that would actually be pretty easy because he just tours so much.
I didn't know he toured that much.
Oh, he's been on like a never-ending tour since like 1987 or something like that. It's been a long time. And Paul McCartney, I'd see Paul McCartney, but I would pay like a premium amount to get as close to Paul McCartney as I physically could. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that.
But there are no
you
other artists for which...
You did say that the
other day. Yeah, there are no other artists for which I'd really do that.
And what I said you know? With Bo Dylan was, you better get on that, because how old is he?
Oh, yeah, he's going to croak soon. But, like, it's fine. I have no idea how old Dylan is.
I know.
Sorry, I'm knocking on wood so that Bob Dylan doesn't drop dead.
You know?
Nobel laureate Bob Dylan. His Nobel lecture, by the way, is one of the most entertaining things I've ever listened to.
Oh, I'll listen to it someday.
It's half an hour of him talking about books.
Really?
Yes, but it's him, like, summarizing Moby Dick. So he'll just be talking about how there's this whale and a guy, and it's crazy. And like, he talks like that through the whole thing. And I think he talks about Moby Dick, the Holy Bible, and all's quiet on the Western Front, and that's it. And then the lecture's over after he just talks about those books. Crazy guy. Yeah, I love him.
That's like a snooze fest.
Speaking
for me.
Of reading, you have a thing to read.
I guess I have to, huh?
Yes, you do, or else we get sued.
If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover the camera with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there are plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack your computer's camera to spy on you. And if so, if you don't use it, consider covering it up. A message from the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
I forgot why I hated that one, and it's the one line that of
it's
in it like. In addition to government programs that are obviously spying on you.
Yeah, it needs a rewrite, that one.
Yeah, like, I just find it funny that the ad works under the assumption that the government is extrajudicially spying on us via our webcams.
Exactly.
But there's also other reasons to worry about it.
But yeah, with that said, I mean, you also, when I said that was the one I was going to read, you showed me how your webcam's covered.
My webcam is covered, yeah. But that's more because of I don't trust the internet than that I don't trust the government.
I agree.
You know?
Yes, yes.
Like, I go to school with some of these people that can do some of the stuff that I'm worried about, and I cover my webcam because of that. We're going to do one more song, then we're going to talk a little bit more, and then we're going to do another song and leave.
That sounds like a plan.
Perfect. Eurovision Song Contest winner Waterloo, their first ABBA's. I think that was ABBA's big break. Is that ABBA's big break?
I can't remember what their.
It's the Eurovision Song Contest, the first Eurovision Song Contest winner.
I mean, I remember enjoying and liking ABBA a lot. But even ABBA, I was still on the younger side. I mean, that's still more 70s.
Is it late 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, yeah.
I didn't actually know that. I've never actually placed ABBA in a time period.
Yeah, we have to go look at their dates of their stuff.
Well, that's what I, you know, it's interesting. When I got into high school and first started getting into music really for myself, thanks to Spotify, which is actually kind of amazing. I've never really thought about how much Spotify has really allowed me to explore music more than anything else. I started realizing that a lot of bands that I thought were in one time period really were in another.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Like, when I thought The Clash, I thought the 70s.
Right.
Which is, like, kind of true.
Right.
But, like, really not. Or when I thought, like, the Talking Heads, I thought, like, the 80s and 90s.
Well, that's what I would have thought the 80s.
It's like,
I guess. 70.
I mean, their first album was 77. I guess it's hard with a lot of them because they're, like, right on the cusp.
Yeah, I was
right?
gonna say they.
But there was certain, like, there was, in my mind at least, I feel like I was always misdating these, like, by like 5 years every time. I don't know. Maybe that's like a nitpicky thing, but I certainly felt that way. You know,
it's a very Zachary thing.
Thanks. Or I thought Bowie was like way later. I thought Bowie was like more 80s, when in reality, like, all the good stuff's from like late 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It is a very Zachary thing, I guess.
That's okay.
Okay, fine, fine.
It's all good.
What's your favorite musician, Mom?
Oh, that's a tough one.
What or who, I suppose.
Well,
you know
that I love Prince.
Oh, I was going to say Earth, Wind, and Fire was the number one that was going to come
up
to me.
Oh, I loved Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I still love Prince more.
Yeah, no, who wouldn't love Prince more? Is that like, I feel like I've heard you talk about Prince more now after.
I think it's just because you were young and
weren't
paying attention to me talking about Prince. You didn't want to go when we took you to the Prince concert and we made you go.
I'm like, I don't get me wrong, I love Prince. I still am not as engrossed in his catalog as I have been with other artists, right? Like, I know the hits with Prince in the same way that I know the hits with Springsteen. Right. I think I'm a little more into Prince than Springsteen, but.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. Got anything else to talk about before we close the show, Mom?
I don't think so. Do you have anything else you want to?
I don't know. What did we talk about? We talked about tattoos.
Talk about heaven. We talked about hell.
That's fine. There's a great line in that dialogue between Huxley and Kennedy and C.S. Lewis that I was reading that I'm going to turn into a better play.
Tell everybody that you've been reading Huxley at home.
Yeah.
Constantly.
No, that's fine. No, because I want to read all of the pretentious writers that I feel like I should have read in college and didn't, because I don't study words in college. I study numbers.
That's true.
Right? So I'm trying to engross. I'm trying to do a bunch of Huxley over the summer. I'm trying to do Nietzsche in the fall. Which is the worst thing I think I've ever said.
That's really funny.
But no, in that dialogue, C.S. Lewis is like, heaven's a real place and we're there. I can't do a British accent. That was terrible. And Huxley's just like, everywhere is heaven because, like, enlightenment and stuff. I don't know. Eastern philosophy. It's
absolutely
great stuff.
Good stuff.
I love it. Do you believe in enlightenment? How about that?
Sure.
Boom. That's good.
Absolutely.
So there's a hell and there's nirvana.
Yes.
I like it. You know, you could say that everywhere is hell if there's a nirvana. Everywhere is hell when you're not enlightened.
I actually kind of believe that.
Yeah. No, I completely believe that.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
Yeah. That's a good note to end on, Zachary. Yeah.
We've been very tangential over the last few minutes. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I've been Zach Going. This has been my mom.
Lisa.
Going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your name is secondary to me. Your mom. It's just fascinating.
That's okay. That's fine.
Well, I was thinking about that when I was watching 8th Grade today. Oh, we should have talked about 8th Grade.
Oh.
Because there's a scene where, like, her father calls her mother mom. Like, he says, like, in a sentence, like, you know, when mom left. And I'm like, that is fascinating how those titles just kind of become names.
Right.
You know?
And you haven't gone through a period of calling me by my first name, whereas, like, I did that with your grandmother.
Really?
Because
you call her mom now.
I call her mom. I did go through a period probably between 18 and 21 where I called her Pina, which, for those of you who don't know, my mother's name is Giuseppina, and I called her Pina.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of my friends have gone through that, and I always kind of thought, are they doing this on purpose just to seem rebellious?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea how it happened.
Yeah. I never had the desire to appear rebellious, at least to you guys. I mean, I have the aesthetic. Like, yesterday I wore the leather jacket and it was like 85 degrees out, right? So.
That was just stupidity, not rebellion.
No, it's not rebellion. It's the,
I know,
like, I just want to look like a punk, I say, while I'm wearing a short sleeve button down that's tucked in.
You look very nice today.
Thank you. I do think I look nice. I just don't think I look punk today. You know, I'm not wearing a beanie. I'm not.
I think we should say goodbye.
Yeah, sure. All right. Thank you for listening to the Astro Hour on 91.5 WFO in Medford. Stay tuned for Strike the Box. It's going to be a great show. Going to be summer themed, so I hear. Cool. Here's a Violent Femmes song.
In with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Yourself. Buy every rock and roll book on a magazine stand. Every dime that he gets, oh, is off to the jukebox man. Well, he worries and teases her till at night she's ready to boot. From rocking and a rolling, spinning in a hula hoop. Well, this rock and roll has got to stop. Junior's head is hot as rock. Now, Junior, behave yourself. Ow! Get that.